and the car is like going, it's like freaking out. And then what happens is, if you didn't know this, you're not gonna, obviously you don't have it on that one, but the screen will go, it'll go to,
power
if you're watching,
save mode.
No, it'll go to your directions.
Your GPS.
Yeah, GPS, and it'll take you some wild route to get you
to a charger.
To a charger, even though you're 2 miles away from your house.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. Sorry for the sound quality in this ad. I am on the road and doing it portable. This episode of the podcast is brought to you in part by Berryman Total Engine Tune-Up for gas and diesel. And why are we recommending Berryman Total Engine Tune-Up for gas and diesel? Because over time, gasoline and diesel fuels will break down and deteriorate. Untreated gas can be less potent, right? It can varnish the carburetor in an older car and possibly prevent your fuel system from working the way that it's meant to. Unwanted chemical reactions with aging fuel might also mean trouble over time. For instance, the evaporation of some volatile components within stored fuel might leave behind harmful deposits in your engine or stop your fuel from igniting properly in the engine after 3 or more months. And Berryman's Total Engine Tune-Up for gas and diesel is the solution. It eliminates any need for you to drain your fuel before storing it. And as fuel stabilizer, the Berryman product keeps your fuel fresh and preserves a properly balanced and stable environment. It's effective with any 2-stroke or 4-stroke gasoline or diesel engine in any season. In the fuel tank, it disperses moisture, cleans the injectors and carburetors, provides smoother top engine performance, and reduces the need for repairs. In the crankcase, Berryman Total Engine Tune-Up dissolves and dispenses gum, sludge, and other residues for better lubrication and longer oil life. And best of all, Berryman Total Engine Tune-Up stabilizes gasoline or diesel fuels for 1 year. That's why we recommend it, why I use it at Westside Collector Car Storage. And you can find Berryman products at all major automotive retailers. For more information, go to berrymanproducts.com. Folks, it's about that RexMD, and you know where I'm going with this. It is about a stiff upper. And guys, we hate going to the doctor. It takes half a day to get it done. It sucks making appointments well ahead of time, validating parking in Beverly Hills. That's the unrelatable portion of the ad. And sometimes, let's be honest, you don't want to talk to your regular doctor about certain issues. And here's the thing. Most men's health issues have really simple solutions. And RexMD is all about simple solutions. RexMD makes getting generic and branded Viagra or Cialis easy. Everything's online, even the prescription. They deliver right to your door. No office visits, no talking to a receptionist. Super simple. Did you know Viagra can cost around $90 a pill? But RexMD has generic Viagra for as low as just $2 a pill. Just fill out a quick medical questionnaire on their website, and a doctor will review your situation and prescribe you generic Viagra if appropriate. Your medication will get shipped right to your door with free 2-day shipping. It's fast, simple, and cheap, and you can access your U.S.-licensed RexMD physician anytime you need afterwards. RexMD has helped over 300,000 guys get generic Viagra quickly and convenient. RexMD just works, and it works the very first night. So, starter packs or generic Viagra or Cialis are now available for our viewers, but you have to go to RexMD.com/tire to get it started. That's RexMD.com/tire. Go to RexMD.com/tire today to get started with a starter pack prescription of generic Viagra or Cialis, and all orders come with free 2-day shipping. RexMD is the authority in men's health. Last but certainly not least, love my Harry's. It's all about Harry's razors. The time of the year is coming where things really start to stack up and get busy, right? And all too often we find ourselves doing things just in time, whether it's back to school, wedding season, holiday prep, Christmas shopping. It's crazy. And you know what happens to me is I forget to buy razor blades. I find out when it's shaving time that I need razor blades. And that's why Harry's is super, super clutch and super in charge of cutting it close. You see what I did there? I love Harry's razors. They haven't bought an ad from us in a long time, but I'm glad they did because I have been buying Harry's razors off the record, off the books, for several years now. I like the blades. I like the rubberized handles. I like the moisturizers and the shaving cream. I especially like to take the shaving cream on the road with me because it's not like an aerosol one out of a can. It's in a tube, which makes it good for carrying on airplanes. I like the convenience. You can choose how often to get refills of your Harry's product. The body wash is great, smells good. And right now, Harry's is selling for very, very cheap, a starter set for just $3. Plus, you get a free travel size body wash with the starter set. The set includes a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover. $16 value for just $3. All you got to do is visit harrys.com/tire. And Harry's works good for me because I shave not just my face, but my whole head too. I can sometimes go through a blade in just one shave. That's why I need affordable blades, but I don't want to skip on quality. Your head is important when you're shaving it. Trust me, I've cut my head in the past and it is a bloody mess. Harry's 5-blade cartridges are awesome. Their shaving cream is awesome. And I love that rubberized handle that comes with the starter set. I've been using the same one for like 3 years. So no matter how busy things get this season, stay fresh with Harry's. Get your Harry's starter set today. Get that free travel size body wash for just $3 at harrys.com/tire. That's harrys.com/tire. Okay, folks, on today's show, I'm at the Ammo Studio, detailing studio in Danbury, Connecticut, with my good pal, one of my best friends for the longest time, Larry Casilla. He's just spent like the better part of a week doing a paint correction, clear film, paint protection film on my car, ammo reflex coating on my car, on my wheels, everything. Getting my brand new demand modified Porsche Boxster ready for prime time. There is nowhere else that I would send my car besides him. And I checked in with him, took the car for a little spinsies, and we sat down to do a podcast. We talk about lots of great detailing questions from the fans. We talk about his all-wheel drive Carrera 4 Porsche and the dynamics of that. We talk about his Porsche Taycan because last time he was on the show, he was worried that the Taycan might not have enough range for his commute. And we talk about how that's gone. We talk about the first drive in the Boxster as well as all the things he did with the car and factory paint corrections. It is a great show. From the Ammo Studio in Danbury, Connecticut, with my friend Larry Casilla of Ammo NYC. Well, that's recording. That is the podcast. Done. That's it. We're over. Your trunk's open out there. You know that?
Yeah, because when I pull it back in.
Which oh, you put on the tender?
Put on the tender, but when we leave, you just help me push the 190 back in, and then I drive that one in.
It's a whole thing. Yeah. All right.
A whole process.
Welcome to the Ammo Studio.
This is indeed
it's it. The studio in Danbury, Connecticut.
Do we have say you that on the back there too? Look, I see a big what? Screen with you.
Oh, yeah, with me.
See,
with my website that nobody ever looks at.
Let's try.
I think one of the very smart things I did was not put a dime into a website because fucking nobody goes there. Welcome to the Ammo Studio. Me and Larry.
That's it.
One of my oldest friends, and. My new newest car.
Friend. Your newest
my
friend.
My newest friend. Strawberry shortcake yeah, over man. Here. Larry's had this car for a week.
Yeah.
If you're not watching the video version of this podcast, if it's the audio version, I'm sorry. There's going to be a little bit of echo because I have my portable thing and we're in a big high-roofed steel building for detailing. But you're just going to have to deal with it because frankly, what I'm telling you here... This is a privilege to be hanging out with one of my oldest friends, Larry Casilla.
in his building, which I fucking love. If I was building a building for myself and not for 125 other people, it would look just like this.
Yes, it's nice. This it looks good from this direction. I don't think I've ever sat in a chair and stared from this direction. But yes.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's cool. Good. And we're sitting in front of my Boxster Spider, fresh after
clean,
a full paint correction. Mm-hmm. What did you
basically when it came in? Obviously, it had all the white stuff on it, so I pulled that off. And what's interesting is the same issue that I had with the GT3, brand new GT3, maybe 6 months ago, when they put the white stuff on it, you know, the protection. Mm-hmm. I think moisture gets underneath it and it sits there. The paint is soft because it's brand new.
Right,
sits there and it forms these weird little creases that look like this art. Almost like your shirt here.
You mean my original Coogi?
Yes.
Get a lot of compliments on this.
So it kind of looked like that underneath. You basically have to polish it up, but heating it up. I don't know how nerdy we want to go with this, but I heated it up, whatever.
Medium nerd. Because, you know, I put, you know, on Instagram that the car was here, and people are like, why are you doing a correction on a brand new car? Mm-hmm. So let's, you know, it's not like Porsche is bad at painting their cars, but... Why do you do a correction on a brand new car?
Yeah, because it's usually not perfect. It's not exactly where it needs to be. Obviously, we all know that Ferrari is like just hands down, unfortunately, the worst one. Like when
are they?
Like, I mean, it's almost like
My guess would be GM followed by Tesla are the worst.
No, I guess Ferrari, Tesla, and then you know GM and everybody else. Okay. The ones that you're like, well, yeah, I spent no money on it. Like, I get it, but like Ferrari's
the worst.
Come on, Koenigsegg right there, Bugatti a little bit underneath them, Pagani, all of it. But you're like, yeah, I spent $3 million. It better be perfect. Yeah. Koenigsegg by far is the best. Porsche's usually middle of the road. They're usually okay.
Is it better if it's like PTS because it's done on a separate booth?
Typically, it is a little bit better. Uh-huh. But the difference is, remember I said the white thing that goes on there? Mm-hmm. Whether you have PTS, whether you have, you know, Model T Ford, you know, black, it doesn't matter what's on it. If you put that white stuff on it and it sits in moisture, you're still going to get those lines.
Because they put that white shit on the factory.
To protect it.
Right. And so this car, because this car was built at the end of May. Okay. It then sat at the port in Germany where there was a dock worker strike.
Nice.
Until for over a month, until the end of July. It was put on the boat July 29th, came over here, was delivered to Rick DeMann on September, you know, first week of September. So that white protective shit was on the car for like 5 months.
Yeah, that's probably why.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of what it's, you know what I'm saying?
Should they have just left it off?
In theory, like if something were to touch it and rub it, you're not going to get those rub marks. But I always find it interesting when you get a brand new car, you get that problem, specifically in Porsche, but forget about Porsche. But then they put all the stickers on the windows. And the stickers are like, they're like, you know what I mean? So when I pull it off, all the pieces get stuck. They have to scrape. I'm like, did they talk to me? You guys talk to me? Like, how do I make it more difficult for you when you're just about to deliver the car?
Yeah.
And so I think what's really funny is when I took your window sticker off, I wanted to do it really nice. And
so you don't want to mess the window sticker up.
All that.
You know, they sent me a thing, though.
Matter of fact, I got to figure out. Oh, your window sticker was on top of that computer thing back there.
Well, they sent me a thing. Because I have a few exclusive options. Not a ton, but a few. The door sills.
Yes.
The painted roll hoops.
Yes.
The painted to match badge.
Yes, I noticed that. That was my favorite.
Yeah, those are actually Porsche exclusive options. When you get anything from Porsche exclusive, you have to be approved for that. There's like paint to sample, and then there's exclusive, and then the badge, the painted roll hoops, and the silver seatbelts. Those are standard Porsche exclusive.
Right.
Check a box.
Right.
Then there's the door sills.
Yeah.
That's where you have to actually submit a proposal of what you want. They won't just do anything.
Right.
They'll do most things, but not anything.
Right.
And so you submit the proposal for what you want. Sorry, I said that wrong. I don't want to get it wrong. The seatbelts, the badges, the roll hoops is exclusive. The door sills are special wishes.
Got it.
That's what has to be approved.
Got it.
That's when you want to do stuff that's not even on the special wishes.
Right.
So you could get illuminated red door sills that say spider or whatever from exclusive.
Right.
But you want to say a thing that you want in a font you want.
Yeah.
Now we're into special wishes.
I was going to do that with the Ammo NYC on the door sill.
Right.
But it was like $2,500
or $3,500. It was. So that, like I told you, that joke was $2,000.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah,
if
I straight up made a $2,000 joke in my door sales.
Yeah.
But I thought, I was like,
why not? At this point, you're like, fuck it, whatever.
You've
already swam halfway.
It's pink. Like, just make the joke. Like, whatever. But the point is, when you do special wishes stuff, they send you a nicer wind. They sent me this big FedEx that's not framed, but ready to frame. Mm-hmm. Window sticker, a certificate of authenticity, and then a list of the special wishes
stuff.
I wish
they would make that like more, like you would know that. Because that would kick me over the edge.
Well, they didn't tell. It just showed up. I was like, what is this weird thing? Yeah, and then it just showed up. So I was like, oh, this is cool. So in my particular case, although yes, I want the window sticker, I just thought it was a neat thing that they sent me this like super nice one also.
I think that's great.
It's pretty cool.
Somebody who buys a car like this goes through all that process. Mm-hmm. So what I normally do is I take those and I go to Michael's and I put a little frame and hand it to the person. I'm like, oh, thank you.
That's cool. I'm going to keep it, but it was nice of them to do that thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably like $100 worth of like dry mounting involved. All right, cool, man. okay, so anyway, you do the paint correction because it needs it from sitting, basically.
As I can assure you, there's no, how do I say this after 20-something years of doing it? Like, I have no desire to, like, I've checked the box in my life. I've got the 10,000 hours of polishing. So there's no reason for me to polish it unless it needs it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, yours kind of needed it. But once I did, it, like, brought that last
5%. Also texted me and said that your paint is better than most.
I said it's above average, and it's above average for a Porsche. So it's not Koenigsegg or anything like that, obviously. But it is considerably
better after dunking my first one in the ocean. They wanted to do it good.
Why don't we take a little extra second here and not piss this guy off anymore?
Nice. Kind
of thing. Yeah. So, yeah, it was definitely above average. It had, like, one or two marks here and there. It just required a little bit of, you know, when you're pulling things off, there's glue and all that kind of junk. Mm-hmm. But was that anything to write home about for a normal human being? No, but that's not why people like come here.
Well, usually they bring you their garbage. I mean, because that's the thing.
Yeah, the camera can't see.
Right. Not most people. I mean, even I, who have some experience detailing, I have my own pseudo detail shop in Los Angeles. I've known you for 30 years. Like, you probably could have just washed it and put wax on it, and I probably wouldn't have noticed.
I would say
for a while.
I would say that that's fair, but there's two things. One, you know me, and a podcast or not, I don't really care. Like, you know that, like, I probably have like borderline issue with making sure everything's fine. I have a problem. Yes. Number two, like, it means a lot to me that it's your car. Like, it was a big deal for me to get like my new Porsche. Like, why would I not go even off camera?
Driving it today was incredibly surreal.
Right.
Because it felt like a press car, but it's not.
It's your car. Yeah. So, like, to be part of that, as corny and whatever as it sounds, and I remember doing the wheels and I was like, I'm pretty sure he's getting new wheels. I'm like, screw it. I'm definitely putting coating on it. We put it on the lift. I'm cleaning underneath it. And everyone's like, what are you doing? I'm like, there's just like that moment, like, whatever. Again, we don't even have to talk about it now, but
it's the shiniest thing ever right now. Like, it's crazy. And you also did full paint protection film
on everything. Yeah,
on, and you did the lights.
The lights.
You don't do the windshield.
Do the lights? No, but I can have the windshield done as well. I have.
Does it distort the light?
A little bit.
Yeah.
So, like, if you have glasses on,
that's the problem. My Dylan Optics sunglasses, it can get a little funky.
It'll definitely make you be like, what's going on? You get used to it after a while, but I take that to $4.95.
I mean, also, I take, you know, hallucinogens before I drive.
This is kind of classic. Maybe it'll straighten it out for you. I don't know. But $4.95 kills that thing, so I have to put it on there.
Yeah. I had it on my Safari 911, and it's
just
was
a little bit, right? It's enough to, like, drive you nuts.
Yeah, and my E46 BMW has like a very light, like a UV tint on the windshield. It came that way. I didn't put it on. I don't know when it was put on, but I hate it at night.
Yeah.
The way it bends light just a little bit, but it's because it's tint, it's not even PPF. It's like, it would be such a mess to get it off. Yeah. I don't even remember.
Mine has this weird wave.
Yeah.
Just a very slight wave to make you like, all right, you know it's there. But whatever. I think what you're doing, you're not like riding somebody forever.
No, and I'm not doing track days. It'll probably be fine.
Yeah.
But it's so pretty, and like, as you just learned, The car looks completely different with the top up from with the top down.
I mean, I liked it with the top up, but it didn't. It just
it's whatever.
Know, certain, you know, different folks. Different
like a 356 Speedster with the top up. Yeah. It looks kind of like
it's like weird. As soon as you dropped it when we were at that turnaround spot, yeah. I was like, whoa, like, yeah, totally different. I should give you that footage too. Maybe put it over this. Sure. The footage of him driving with me. I was out the window with the camera.
It looks awesome. Just,
I was like, mind you, I had like spit and boogers going like this because it was 60 miles an hour or whatever. But I'm going like, this is the greatest shot I've ever
had. I heard you say something like that.
Yeah.
But like the, not only, you know, it changes the silhouette of the car. Yeah. Obviously, it's the car's meant to be driven with the top down. That's why it has the stupid, weird top and not like the regular top. And also, the color changes. In all the different light.
Yeah, it's because the black like draws your eye to it. Or something. I don't know. I haven't put it into words right now. But as soon as you drop that, we put it in. I don't see black anymore. I just see that color. Yeah. It's not like, oh, it's black and it's pink and it's just like.
And it changes how the interior looks. Taking the top down changes what you see about the interior because your eye moves in different ways.
Well, luckily you're in California. You're never gonna have it up.
Hopefully not.
Anyways.
Yeah. So it's definitely, Frozenberry metallic with a two-tone red and black interior. It's definitely not for everybody, but I think it's cool. I like aggressive car, and if 90% of people, or even 80 or 70 go, that's pretty cool, and 30% are like totally offended, I'm like, all right by that. Yeah, that's fine.
Just put them in the bag and say, hey, just wait a second. Let me start this thing. Like, all right, never mind.
Well, then you've got the engine, which I, Rick had sent me a startup video. So I heard it run. I had evidence that it ran, but I first heard it, over an iPhone speaker, which does not remotely do it justice.
If you do it in here with the metal everywhere.
Well, when you started in here, I was like, oh, what have I gotten into? This thing is so loud.
It was in here, plus it was cold.
Yeah.
It
sounds amazing. I mean, my it's not, especially when it's cold and in a building like this, yes, it echoes a lot. But when you are out on the road, it's definitely, it's loud. It's not subtle, but I like that it doesn't just sound like you put an exhaust on. I've heard these with exhaust on them.
Yeah.
It's not. It doesn't sound like that. You hear it and you go, well, that's
to
that's
a trained ear, you're like, okay, cool. I know that you're trying to fool everybody, but like, I can tell that you just
something
like, tweak something.
Something is different.
That sounds like a race car in pink.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's yeah. Like, it sounds like a muffled race car.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it sounds like a monster is trying to escape from inside of there. And the car has, we left here, it had 41 miles on it. It now has 59 miles on it.
Yeah.
So I can't rev it over 5,000. I can't go full throttle. I'm supposed to have 1,000 break-in miles. This is going to be so hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm just going to take a weekend and do the 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
You know, go up north or something.
Get oil change right out.
Just to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
But it's going to be so hard. But even, you were in it. Even with low revs. And not using full throttle, like the torque is.
I think the way to prove that is sixth gear. Whenever you're trying to like prove torque, go in sixth gear and just go, and then come up. And yours was like, I'm getting pinned
like
in sixth gear.
Like it pulls.
Gear.
Yeah, it pulls in sixth like this car stock would pull it in fifth or maybe even fourth.
Right.
It's got a ton of power and I'm so glad I got the comfort seats. This car.
That would have been way uncool.
I've been in an F-Type R for a week. I've done 1,000 miles in it. It's a fine car. A lot of F-Type experience, but ergonomically, to go from that to this, it's just like, oh, it's like just putting on the perfect suit, it's so nice and comfortable and set up for, like, the F-Type, the steering wheel's a little too far away, and, like, the bolster's not quite right, and, like, the way that the thigh bolstering is not quite right, like, this is like...
Yeah, that was our chase vehicle, so I hadn't been in that one.
Yeah.
I could feel just in 2 seconds being like, it,
not quite there.
You're just like, I'm not there yet. When you get into this one, you're like, all right, it's like designed.
Yeah.
Hence Porsche, I'm not telling you anything.
Talk about F-Type R and that event on the next show with Zach. We don't even talk about road and track shit. We can talk about detailing. You can't see it in the podcast video. You see it on my Instagram. You'll see it in other videos. Shout out to Dieter, the homie from Porsche of Carlsbad. He's a Porsche dealer and he stocks these.
That's awesome.
He takes out the ambers on every customer's sports car and puts in the clear corners, which is honestly, I didn't even really see the amber corners before, but now that I see it with the clear,
well,
it makes
why
so
I
much.
I sent you that picture with the two of them. Like, yeah, it's not even close. Matter of fact, I got to call him if he's listening. I need that for the Taycan because I have the orange and looks.
Yeah.
Anyways,
he'll set you up.
That'd be cool.
He saw it on Instagram and he didn't even say you should get these. He was just like, what is Larry's address? I will overnight them.
It literally came the next day. Yeah. Your license plate and that thing came the next day.
Yes. I'm so excited. Cool. We're going to go to Cars and Coffee with this tomorrow.
I think
tomorrow.
People are going to lose their minds. I made some phone calls to see if we can get like pretty good.
Premium parking?
It's going to be bananas. It's
the
last
one of
the year.
Oh, we got to print the registration forms.
Yeah,
we need those.
You don't need that. I've never once didn't know that you needed to sign up.
Really?
No.
Okay, so they just do it to keep out the riffraff or something?
I think so. I literally have never done it, but maybe tonight I will. Maybe. But like, I've gone
print
a thousand
it anyway.
Times.
Maybe. What if it's a shit show? I don't know. You know the guy, though, right?
I know the guy. I'm waiting for his text to come back. Basically, like
Cars and Coffee in New Canaan, which I went to one like a year ago, the one in the downtown, and it was crazy.
Yeah.
It's a big deal here.
This one's usually, dude, remember, like I'm so jealous of California where it's like, yeah, let's just go for a drive. Like people like set up like weeks for this. And what's funny is it's like 2.5 hours. It's like, and then everyone's gone. You're like, it's like 9:30. We're leaving now. But we don't get that. And it's the last one. And like, be honest with you, I feel like I want to cut and just go get a jacket. I'm freezing already, but it's like, it's cold here.
Go get a jacket.
Yeah. I want to get a jacket.
Go get a jacket.
Yeah. I'm freezing.
You've really leaned into the, pull a car out of the woods thing.
Yeah, man.
Is that just what's the most successful on YouTube? They got to see.
Is challenging right now. We spend a lot of time trying to figure out what to do. I think there's so much to talk about here, but YouTube is obviously driving everybody crazy because the ad rev doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And I was like very anti doing ads, but it's gotten to the point where it's like, either you're going to have to listen to some ads or I can't continue to film.
Yeah.
Because like the car behind you here, like, you know how much it was to flatbed the car. I got to flatbed it out. That guy, usually when I find it, it's like, the guy's like, get rid of it. You know what I mean? So I got to flatbed. I got to do it. It's like a lot more expensive than it used to be.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of doing ads at this point. But yes, to answer your question, the transformations are what really makes, gets the most views, et cetera. But I think I may even just go back to like the top 10 steps on how to like maintain your car.
Because the transformations take a lot of time.
I mean, even Jordan, like he didn't like my helper.
Yeah.
Now he's like, oh, I thought once he started filming, he was like, we got to figure something out. It takes a week
dude.
The wheels behind you, they're a performance right now. To drive down a performance, get them redone.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want to make it nice. This guy's literally crying when I took it out. He's going to be in tears when it gets here, and it's not for like.
Well, that's great, but there's no money in that.
I understand, but like.
I mean, I do a car review. If I spend more than 90 minutes on it, it's like not worth doing.
I'm not exaggerating when I say this. It is minimum 4 days of actual working and filming to get the car. Then there's probably 2 days of editing and then 1 day of like the nonsense of like figuring all that stuff. So it's a solid week. So every week, so that's what it's becoming.
I mean, even at 1 million views, that's not good math.
And right now, 1 million views for mine, remember, my 1 million views versus, that's what people don't understand as well. There's the CPMs. So CPMs, I equate it to, your hourly rate. So one guy gets $10 an hour, just using round numbers. Another guy gets $20 an hour, right?
Yeah, CPM is dollars per 1,000 views.
Yeah. Cost per milli, dollars per 1,000 views. So if I make $10 and the other person makes $20, usually that person is a, workout person or, mutual funds or whatever, like money person.
Yeah.
When you come to detailing, who is spending money to put ads in our videos?
Right.
Not really anybody, but if you do like maybe a Doug or somebody where it's like, yes, a brand new Mercedes, like of course BMW is going to buy ads against that or whatever, however their algorithm works. So the CPMs are much higher. What's my point? I'm doing like a week's worth of hardcore, disgusting, get sick labor. There's no complaining here, by the way. It is what it is. It don't hate the player, hate the game. Like I chose this, so I can't complain about it. But it's like...
Well, that's...
It's a little crazy that
it's not entirely true. I mean, you can, and you're not complaining to just talk about the reality of.
No, I just don't want anybody to be like, well, then why are you doing this? It's because I love doing it. It used to be really great back then, but it's not as cool. It's not as you don't make as much ad rev, so that's why I was talking to you off camera.
Us sitting here talking makes more money in an hour.
100%.
We don't have to go out to the desert. We don't have to. you know, we don't have, I don't have to source a car.
I think of you every time I'm like in the thick of it going like, what? I love doing this.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's, I'm not joking. I think of you and I was like, Matt always tells me like, that's insane. What you're doing is insane. So it's a give and take. Yeah. So yeah, man, YouTube, it is what it is. I love it. I want to keep doing it, obviously. But I think now I'm going to talk to your guys and be like, I have to, I'm sorry guys, yeah. I got to put an ad on it because you can't make $800 after a week.
But what would happen is, and is seven people will complain in the comments.
About what?
About there being an ad. That's what'll happen. But the data will show no one else cares.
Yeah.
It's just, they're just used. For a long time, I was like too proud to do it.
I'm right there. Yeah. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to do that.
Pride and money are polar opposites. What's that?
But it's not so much that. It's like, I can't sustain doing this forever. Because you know why? The biggest cost is me being pulled away from actually designing new products, as corny as that sounds. Like,
yeah.
Like,
that's why this is the problem for anybody. I mean, look, fortunately, you have, someone will pay you to detail their car.
Correct.
If you want to focus on that.
I could do that all day.
Someone will pay you for this bottle of
juice.
Whatever the
fuck. Yeah.
Right? And you can make more of those and improve those. And it's hard to sell things, but like, you can do that. Like, but the problem with, and I can build more buildings and I can park more cars. But for anyone, especially the young, energetic content creator who puts all their eggs in one basket, whether it's YouTube or TikTok or Instagram, whatever it is, eventually that algorithm and platform will turn against your interests. And what are you going to do then?
I think of it as, you're not in control.
You're not.
Like, just be aware of that. Like, I know getting into the YouTube, you're not in control. I try to like control as much as I possibly can, but.
And you do, you know, what you can, but.
I mean, and overall, my videos are doing well. Obviously, we watch everybody. They're doing well in comparison, but I think YouTube as a whole, like the tide just like went out.
Sure.
Because I think TikTok, and I mean, there's a thousand reasons for it.
Sure.
Thus,
TikTok is destroying YouTube.
Yeah.
Watch time and engagement and all that stuff.
You want to hear the crazy part is, when I shot the Lamborghini video that at the barn find with Vinny?
Vinny
just texted me. I think he was texting you, but he texted me some weird thing. But anyhow, he may be texting you.
We'll ignore that until we're done.
Yeah. So a dude on TikTok takes all of my videos. Brilliant, by the way. Brilliant. It's illegal, but it's brilliant. He takes all of my videos and cuts them into three segments. Each one of his like 2 minute segments. So just take my video, cut it into thirds, puts it up there. Each one of those thirds gets between 500 and 1 million views. On TikTok.
And can you report this person?
We did, but then I had to go into my copyright, in my USPTO, United States Patent Trademark Office. I had to go in, get my actual trademark thing, submit it through their system. And unlike YouTube, where, you know, YouTube has like a thing, they take it down immediately and they're like, you two idiots, figure it out. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. TikTok, it was just like, I mean, I'm still going through the legal process. And it's like, that's my face.
Could it be that IP law in China is not so...
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm seriously fighting with that. And if you look at his thing, he's still up, and it's every one of my videos, three things. But
what is his channel called? Like Ammo something?
No, it's some random name.
Maybe you could just outdo him. Maybe you could do the exact same thing with your videos.
That's
but
exact,
better.
So you know me, I'm always like ready for whatever. I looked at him and I said, you know what? That's a brilliant lesson. I'm gonna try to do my best to take him down.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, let's make lemonade out of this. I was like, that's the guy is destroying my own videos with hit by stealing mine.
Yeah.
Why don't we just do that?
Yeah.
So we're starting to shift more towards TikTok to be able to stay relevant.
I mean, the transformation stuff is good TikTok content, probably. Yes. Not a 20-minute video about it, but you make the 90-second version or whatever, and you know, you probably get people's attention that way.
To your point on the last thing, we are desperately, and I would love to hear your opinions on it because they're usually right, as to what we are getting sucked down a rabbit hole with these cars, and it's this passion and love, blah, 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 versus money versus like, hey, is it actually helping?
You mean with the transformation cars?
Yeah, man, it's getting to the point, like, you and I are not 25 anymore, by the way, right? And then we have these cars, like, it's a lot of work for almost no money now. And I'm not crying about it. I'm just being pure factual. That, like, what do I do now?
Can
I have 2.2 million subscribers.
Can you buy them and then sell them?
it's exactly what we talked about before. I'm trying to buy them, but I'm trying to do it 100% legal. You know, like everything with me has to be like 100% legal.
Well, so then you have to be a dealer.
Dealer, it's been two years of me trying to get.
Well, I'm a dealer. Maybe I'll buy them.
Thanks.
I'll buy them and cut you in.
Exactly. So I'm trying to figure that whole process out because I want to at least make some cut on the.
Because if you as private citizen have to buy them, then now you have to pay registration fees, and there goes all the.
I gotta wait in line.
You can't do that.
So I was thinking, hey, if I can squeeze $2,000 or $3,000 on everyone that I sell, it makes sense. I break even. Everything's great. So I can't do that. That's why I asked you 20 minutes ago. Hey, can I talk to your people about advertising?
Yeah. I mean, do some fucking ads. So your pride is for suckers.
It's not even pride. It's like, do you want to watch more videos? I literally can't survive anymore with this kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's shitty. Very, very shitty.
I think it's across the board. Are you seeing it on your channel?
Yeah. Oh, we're getting hammered. Yeah. We're getting fucking hammered.
Making like $600 a week. You know,
we're getting hammered. Yeah. And
it's bad.
Fortunately, the podcast is pretty good. Mm. And you know, I park cars. and I have a masthead job at a magazine. You know, I have 7 fucking gigs.
Do you remember?
So that's what I do about it.
Do you remember when Emil, who I don't know where he is now, is he still in jail?
He's on parole. He's out of prison.
So we're in.
Someone just asked me about that. Is that guy still in jail?
Yeah. So we're sitting in the downtown office. I forget where it was, somewhere on the west side. 100 years ago, Thad was there.
Mm.
Do you remember with that? I don't know. Musto. Everybody was there.
Yeah, when it was Alex Roy or someone got up and fucking just shat in his mouth.
No.
That was epic.
No, Thad got up and said, like, we want to make more money on YouTube. This is ridiculous. We're filming. We're doing this, blah, 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 blah. And I remember this moment.
I don't remember it specifically, but go on.
He stood up. Believe me. And then Emil got up and he put his leg on the chair, on the table. And he put his hand down like this. I never forget. Because I was like right there. And he goes, Thad, you want to make more money? He goes, get out of YouTube, like that, and I went like, because it was my first year of the Drive Channel. I was
get
like,
out of YouTube and get into embezzlement. All the money, I'm telling you, you could do great. This is Emil's advice. You could do great if all you got to do, you make fake companies, and then you steal from your employer and use that money to pay yourself. Do you know how dope your cars could be for 3 years if you do that?
Yeah.
You just got to do a little time, but it's all right.
When you get out, everything.
You'll never be able to vote again. But the money is super, super above average.
Has anyone like tracked him down to try to get like an interview or something?
Oh,
I'd love to see him.
He did crimes. He went to prison. The fuck do I care about him?
Man, I would love to see him.
I don't give a fuck about him.
He was an interesting character.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Let's talk about something a little more positive. Give us the roundabouts update on your personal cars. The 964 is out there.
Yeah.
Looking sharp.
I took that to Lime Rock on Wednesday.
Dude, Lime Rock was killer this week. I was just there.
It's nice. You were there on Thursday or Friday.
I was there one day before you. Thursday.
I was there Wednesday.
Yeah.
With the PEC group.
The track felt really, really nice.
Great.
Beautiful place.
They tightened it up. There's new management.
And we ran Miatas on the autocross. They call it the proving grounds now.
That's where we did the Taycans. They don't let the Taycans out there.
Oh, they don't?
Because they can't charge them.
Oh, they can't charge them quick enough?
They would just drain all the batteries.
No, we did a competition with all of the... We were doing this road and track. It was called Hudson Quattrocento. So basically, the idea is... And I want to come back to the 964. But the idea is basically... When journalists go on press trips and car of the year and stuff like that, it's this amazing experience. So we put together these ways that readers can, you know, for money, experience that. So the staff of the magazine is there in press cars. You guys, meaning the guests, bring their own cars, but it's hotels, it's fine dining, it's track time, it's... We go to a car museum, and it's set up all fucking nice.
You guys are supposed to come here.
We were going to come here, but there's no way we could have gotten 40 people here.
Yeah.
But we're trying to figure out what to do for next year. So upcoming events, by the way, experiences.roadandtrack.com. We've got Route to Vine in February, which is Northern California. We've got the Bourbon Trail, Great Smoky Mountains Bourbon Trail. That's coming up in the summer, early summer. And then we've got... Road to the Quail, I think it's called. It's LA to the Quail, and include during Car Week, obviously, and includes passes to the Quail and hospitality. It's gonna be fire, and I'm making the routes for all of those.
That's nice.
That's my job.
How about that? That's hearkening back to
dude,
New York Motor Club.
Of course, when we used to make the New York Motor Club routes, like when I tell them about how I make routes. They're like, why are you so good at this? And I'm like, I'm trained in this. I'm literally trained in this. It's like, and there's like, there's a science to making routes for group driving. Yeah. And like, I'm very good at it.
No,
like
you did all of
it. And so I'm doing it. I'm doing that now as a fucking for a magazine, which rules. So, anyway, it doesn't circle back around. Yeah, nicey, nice. Yeah. Right. And so anyway, we were at Lime Rock, and in the fall, the colors being great. How is that thing on track?
It's still great. I mean, I wish I drove it more than, you know, drive it more than I do. But
don't look at the car. Look at the mic, because your voice will go away from the mic if you do that. You're not wearing a lav, sorry.
This is true. This is true. I like it. I love it. The car's great. I just, you know, I don't drive it as much as
Are you still happy? Are you still happy you got the four-wheel drive one? Because that's set up about as good as a four-wheel drive one can be.
About as good as it can be. I've driven multiple 964s in the probably last year or so, and that one still is faster and handles better.
Well, it's a 3.8 motor, right? It's like a motor. And it's.
I drove the RWB a couple weeks ago.
Oh, really? How was that?
That was a bag of rocks.
Terrible?
Yeah, I mean, it was cool.
Was it set up right? It wasn't? No. It was just the body kit?
It was just the body, and then inside everything was like falling apart. Like when you turn, the actual seat moved. And the owner knew that, and he's like having a bike. In fact, his super bike's behind us right now. But he's a super cool guy, et cetera. The difference is that is so dialed in, it's perfect. And the fact that the suspension is actually encouraging oversteer.
Does it do it now?
Well, if I really...
Because I drove it like, you know, six years ago.
Yeah.
It was pretty decent for what it was.
But it didn't have
a little, JRZs. It was a little pushy, but it was before you had the JRZs.
Right.
Yeah.
So we dialed it out so that, you know, it's the only Porsche on the planet really that's dialed in.
We were oversteer. Just talking. I was going back and forth with people at Twitter because there's an all-wheel, a 964 C4 based Singer right now that somebody had built, drove it 500 miles and is now selling it. And I thought it was weird to do a Singer, you know, a four-season Singer, and then try and sell it, because it costs probably more to go in.
Sure.
And you're going to get less on the back end. And if you're not driving it in four seasons, really, like, it kind of takes away from some of the purity. And my experience, a lot of that is based on your car, which is, like, the most dialed-in C4.
Yeah.
Singer is probably pretty dialed in, but like, and it's still.
I've driven a Singer, and it's not miles ahead of that.
Really?
It's just not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nicer. And yeah, you've got all the fancy stuff, right, whatever. Right. But it's not like.
Well, that's got the motor that the early motor. Singers came with, pretty much.
But to answer your question, yeah, if I could push a button, I would go with two wheel.
But converting it is not so simple. You don't just take the shit out. It's like a whole thing, right?
Like there's a, you know, you can pop the axles out.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
That's what people are saying. You really can't do that.
No, there were people that tried to be like, all you do is
pop the axles out. No, you don't. That way. Like the whole system, the computer system will, you know,
weird. It's fucked up.
Yeah, so. But I still love that one. The R8.
You got a lot of miles on that, right?
No, I have 21,000.
Oh, I thought you drove more.
I got it with 12. It's 21,000. Again,
good car.
It's a great car, but with the Taycan is almost pushing 15,000.
But you drive your clients in Long Island like all the time.
I am like.
Did you? So when you
actually changed tires.
I think last time on the show we were doing the math of whether you could make it from here to there and back.
Yes.
So what is your commute look like when you have to go out to the end of Long Island from Danbury in an electric car?
Charge it 100% at my house.
Uh-huh. You got a level 2 at your house?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got a level 2 here?
Right there. Over there.
Where?
Right by, see where the red cord is?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's one right in that socket. Okay, cool. You can't see it. It's behind the wall. Behind the thing. So, yeah. I can get from my house with 100%, I arrive at my client's house at 39%.
Okay.
And then what I do is, I got an electrician to rig. Give me a second. I can go out and show it to you. I got him to rig this box and a cord that goes in, and we can change the plugs. I have multiple plugs. So I basically when I get my client's house, I unplug
his
compressor.
His air compressor.
I plug this in. It runs a box down. Then the box.
And that's a 220 mm-hmm. compressor? Okay. So you have a portable level 2 charger?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you're there for like 8 hours,
I'm there for six. I have to be there for like a little bit over 5.5-6 hours.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't have to stop on the way home.
So you're back up to like 60% or something.
I have to be... you're asking a nerd a question. I have to be above 76% for it to not get, like when I get
to not
home,
have to charge.
I have like 6 or 7%, and the car is like going,
really?
It's like freaking really? Out. And then what happens is, if you didn't know this, you're not gonna, obviously you don't have it on that one, but the screen will go. It'll go to
power
if you're
save
watching,
mode.
No, it'll go to. Your directions.
Your GPS?
Yeah, GPS. And it'll take you some wild route to get you...
To a charger.
To a charger, even though you're 2 miles away from your house. I'm like, what is going on? I didn't push that button. Funny. It like freaks out.
When I drove the Lucid Air and I drove it to Phoenix and back, you know, Lucid's got a lot of range. You know, if you pussyfoot it, it's like a 525 mile range. It's an enormous battery. But what I like about the Lucid is you could do 300 miles, a real 300 miles... at 90 miles an hour.
Really?
Now that I'm into.
Yeah.
But coming back from Phoenix, what I didn't calculate was a 30 mile an hour headwind.
Really?
So it's
struggling.
So it's coming off. The range is coming off quickly.
If you put the air conditioner on that thing, as soon as you push the on button, you'll see it go bloop.
So what I was getting at was when I got down to below 20 miles of range, and I was gonna make it. The charger, the fast charger, was like 8 miles away, and I had 20 miles of range left. But it's coming off. It's coming off 2 for 1.
Yeah.
Straight up 2 for 1. It's like 100 degrees outside. It's a desert, and this headwind. It's coming off. When you get below 20 miles, it cuts off the climate control.
Really?
Off. And we're in the desert, like coming back from Pearl Jam. Yeah. And it turns out I also, by the way, had COVID. So I had gotten COVID, and I'm coming back from this.
At the Pearl Jam show?
No, I got it. I was exposed to it from Hannah right before the show. Before I went to go to the show, I was I felt fine, but I was cautious. So my friend Marco from TLG came with me. So I actually wore a mask in the car with him, just in case.
Yeah.
Wore a mask at the show.
That's smart.
And as soon as we got up the next morning to drive home, I started to get a headache. And I was like, I feel like... And I started to like get the little tingling throat. And I was like, I feel like this is coming. So anyway, I wasn't feeling great to begin with. And now the air conditioning's cut off.
This is like incubating this
and,
whole thing.
And I feel like we're going to... And the fucking miles are coming off. Yeah, it's
your heart's pounding or something.
I got to the charger with 4 miles left. Yeah. And in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, but the question is, what happens when it runs out? Like, nobody's answered that before. Like, what happens...
It's got a flatbed. It's done.
A straight up flatbed?
Oh, yeah. They can't bring... They're not going to bring a generator.
That's why I said, like, you don't have like a... Give me a 5-miler.
Someone has developed a truck that is a battery that can provide a level 2 charge from a truck. Right?
Yeah.
That and like the Ford Lightning. You can use a Ford Lightning to charge another electric car.
Really?
Yeah. It has a... If you get the Ford Lightning with the... forget what it's called, but like the big battery pack.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the professional.
Yeah, the one they show in the commercial.
With the contractor where you can plug a fucking power saw.
I'm supposed to do a video in the next couple of weeks where I detail the car
with
from
that.
The car.
Yeah, yeah. We made a whole podcast studio, like multi-camera rig, and it was very cool. But you can charge another... They trolled Tesla because it comes with an adapter.
Got it.
So you could charge a Tesla with the Lightning.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that you could do that, but fundamentally the answer is flatbed.
Wow.
That's basically what happened.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you got to get it to 76% and then you can get it home.
76% and then I get home, everything is fine. But this is exclusive here. I had to bring the car back in for 5 weeks. I'm sure somebody's going to freak out right now. I had the craziest squeak in my seat where they had to remove the seat, disassemble the seat, so it's in pieces now. Mm-hmm. Then they put it back together, sat in it, still did it. Remove the seat, disassemble the seat, then rip the covers off the seat and had to like find and shave off little pieces, put it back in, put it back. Perfect. I get in the car, I'm like,
and it's
no, dude, I'm not, it's not like, it's, I'm like, and they said, hey, just change the seat back. And I was like, unacceptable.
Yeah, yeah.
Unacceptable. I'm not changing. Like, you want me to sit like this for the rest of my days in this car? Yeah. I was like, no, I want it in this position.
My $110,000 right. luxury car?
Yeah, no, I got to like sit like this to like, yeah. Because when I first went in, because this is the third time I went, when I first went in, the guy goes like this. He goes, how about now? I was like, did you just move my seat as the solution?
Yeah.
My head exploded.
No,
right?
No, yeah.
So now I have a Porsche tech, and the my dealer's like, we've had like one other time they came in for like a 918 issue or whatever. They're coming in for this one because now they're finding that it's actually happening on a bunch of
on other cars.
So they're calling, making a recall thing or whatever they're doing. So it was intense. But on that note, I brought it in and they did the upgrade. When I did the upgrade, I am telling you right now, I've been driving cars, not as much as you, but enough to have a butt dyno. The car is faster. The acceleration is faster. The way it hops on and you know, and delivers the power.
And is the range better too?
Here's the thing. When I had to give them the charger. The charger has to get updated to be able to get 31 more miles from what I'm reading on the charger, which would change my.
Wait, you had to give them your homemade shit?
No.
The Porsche portable charger.
Yeah, the Porsche thing that you put in your house.
Uh-huh.
And I gave it to them and they didn't have the update then. So I don't have the 31 miles, which is funny because most people are like, who cares about 31 miles?
For me, it's critical.
Yeah, otherwise, I'm like sitting there like...
For you, it's like an hour and a half of sitting on a charger.
Yeah, yeah. Or I got to stop. There's one charger in Long Island at a Sam's Club. And so I sit there and, you know, 20 minutes, you're fine. But it's like the
point. Is it a 350?
Yeah.
It's 350 or 150?
No, it's the whatever the big one is. Not
the 350.
Not the one that's like the super high one. I forget it.
That's 350.
I don't think there are 350s.
There's a couple in LA, but they're that one that I went to in the Lucid with 4 miles left for the 350.
Was it,
yes, but I've only ever actually it's the double.
No,
it's
but the was the cord this big?
The cord is heavy duty.
Because
it's
the
cool.
cord in a 150 is like this, right?
Right, right.
But in a 300,
yeah,
it's got to be...
It's liquid cooled. The cords are liquid cooled. That's why they have actual cooling sleeves.
Well, I went to the Porsche dealer. They said when they got Taycans that came out, they said that they had to get the town to put the thing in there.
Yeah.
$500,000 to put that in. Did you know that?
I know it because when I bought my new building, I said, all right, I now have an opportunity to put in... Because my new building has a ton of power.
Right.
My current building in Playa Vista is a 400 amp circuit.
The one that I've been in.
The one you've been in.
You have another one that's
400 amps. I bought a new building.
Right.
We're in construction right now. It has a 1600 amp circuit.
Wow.
Because it was an electroplating factory.
Oh, so it did.
So it has the fucking most power. That's why I had to get into a bidding war with all the ganja growers. Because they want to run 1,000 sodium halide lights
in
there. So I had to beat these fucking guys out for this building, but now I got all the power in the world. So I go, let's use this power. Let's get a 50 kilowatt. And it was $80,000.
Wow.
To get a 50. Yeah. Forget a fucking 150 or a 350.
All right. So they weren't. Oh, I was like,
no, they weren't fucking around. No, they were not fucking around. No.
Wow.
And there's a massive infrastructure thing with it. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's the whole thing.
Nonetheless, I love the Taycan, but. Yeah.
They're lovely to, I mean, driving and owning one. I mean,
I could put my kid in the back, get groceries. I mean, like, we drive it daily.
Yeah.
It's a unbelievable car. I've never been in a car that has that much power. Even mine's the base kind of cheap model, whatever you want to call it. It's lightning, umpteen times faster than any car that I own.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
Electric power is wild.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a lot. This is going to be... Larry has to get home and go to dinner with his family.
I do have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
I'm having a problem with... I want to... I took the lowering suspension off the car because it was just like...
Yeah.
It's too low and my teeth are rattling and whatever.
Yeah. Don't lower your luxury cars.
No. This is stupid. I admit that was dumb. Right? Very, very not cool. So I put it back to normal. My question to you is, in a Porsche, I want to drive in like... driving off road mode,
high mode,
because
yeah.
it's just like I'm driving a Cadillac when I'm on 495. Like I don't care, nobody's looking at me. It's not at a show. I don't care. But when I go at speed, it shoots it all the way back down to low.
Aerodynamics,
but like
it makes a big difference in the range.
I understand. Oh, in the range.
The range, yeah.
But I'm saying, what if you were going off road?
Yeah, but at high speed,
it's an off road car, and at high speed, like you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just want to like float sometimes.
I mean. Does someone not make an override tune for that?
I don't know, but every time you go over 50, it's like 50 miles an hour, it'll kick you down one. Uh-huh. 60 miles an hour, kick you down.
Sure. It's definitely for efficiency as well as performance. But if you're in like comfort mode and it still does it, it's efficiency For sure. And
that's what it does. It's been like a thing.
There's probably a way around it. Yeah. But aftermarket.
I didn't know if you knew it. We were like, oh, yeah.
No, not offhand. But it's probably for efficiency.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of comments on the Patreon. I have not previewed them because we were out fucking around with Strawberry Shortcake over here. So I'll do my best.
I don't know if that name is going to stick. Amazing footage, too.
We did. For Larry's channel.
Yeah.
And we're going to obviously, I'm going to make a video with it when I get it home. But we're in Connecticut right now. It has to. Larry has to finish, and then it's got to go on a truck and come back to LA.
It's got to go to Demand first, though. Right.
Demand has to do a few more development miles, refine the tune just a little bit. He might even be annoyed if he found out I drove it because it's
he
not.
He won't find out until the video goes.
He'll find out. Yeah, he'll find out. I put it on.
This is not going to be out for like 2 weeks.
I put pictures on Instagram. He'll find out. But I don't. My car. Yeah. No, it's fine. But
we didn't do anything crazy.
No, and it's because it has miles. I couldn't go. I didn't go full throttle. All I did was hear the exhaust.
I was watching you. You went up to 4,000.
Hear the exhaust and confirm that my seat choice was excellent, and that I should not have gotten the RS because the ride around here, your roads, that highway was lovely, but the roads here, the suspension is excellent. Okay, lots from the Patreon, of course. Patreon.com/thesmokingtirepodcast. Plans starting at just $3 a month. Get the show early, get the show live, although not right now because I can't broadcast live on this setup. Get the show early, get the show live, ask questions of our guests, etc. And of course, support the program at patreon.com/thesmokingtirepodcast. And I'm not going to get to every single one of these questions, but
how many questions?
There's 28. That's why we're not going to get to every single one. I'm gonna choose ones I think are great. Malik Barnett says, Larry, do you have any tips on taking care of paint and undercarriages in harsh New York and Connecticut winters?
Painted undercarriages, what you said?
Paint and undercarriages.
Oh, got it. And harsh New York. Well, like everything else, maintenance is key, meaning whether you put it on once to go to the gym and work out one time, that kind of thing. Like you got to go to the gym on a regular basis. Same thing with your car. So you need to clean it on a regular basis. In that case, if he's in New York City, he's going to have to use probably pressure washer, water kind of thing. He's not going to be able to wash it, is what I'm saying, on a regular basis. But you can go through those ones that you shoot water underneath.
Yeah.
That would be
it. You know, the cheap solution, get one of them sprinklers that does this. It's not a lot of power, but like, it's shockingly effective.
Yeah.
You get one of the sprinklers that oscillates, just shove that thing under the car, run it for 10 minutes, move it, run it for 10 minutes, move it, run it for 10 minutes. It gets her done.
It'll work. So I would put a coating on the car, protection beforehand, and then we have a product specifically made for New York City stuff when I was stuck in areas where they couldn't have water called Frothy. You can frothy it down, basically wash it without any water safely. And protect it. It's a maintenance thing. You just can't like set it and forget it. You gotta keep up with it.
Lucas Sewar, my car gets shit on by birds at work a lot.
That's bad.
What can I carry in the car to wipe the poop off reasonably quickly, as I don't have too much time to wash the car?
All right, so Frothy is going to be just what we talked about before.
Of course, you get these products at ammonyc.com.
Yeah, of course. And again, I'm talking about ones that I know, so I'm trying to tell you. Frothy, wipe it down with a microfiber towel. But the whole thing about bird poo is speed. If you let it sit there, I don't care what, Miracle Juice is not going to get it out. So either Frothy, which is that with the canister, or you can use Spit, which is a lubricant, but whatever, water, spit on it. I don't care. You got to get that off
liquid
faster than not. And the more lubrication that you have, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah. Mr. Nailhead, I hope this isn't too repetitive. I'm one of those people that very rarely washes their car. What's the best way to remove a year's worth of dirt and grime without scratching the paint all up?
This is like one of those guys that's like, I got to go to a wedding. I haven't been to the gym in like 5 years. You know what I mean? Like, what do I do before I go, like 10 minutes before? You need as much water as humanly possible in that particular case. So I would highly encourage you to use lots and lots of water, lots of soap, i.e. lubrication, and wash it as you normally would. It wouldn't be a huge difference between 1 year of no washing and 1 week of washing, other than the fact that you have more little rocks on your paint.
And if you're really going to not wash it that often, like a coating... if that one time you do it, maybe you go with the ammo reflex.
Yeah, like if he's gonna go
wax
all in,
it like a minimum.
Yeah, if you're gonna go all in that one time, like spend the day and then not look at it for the year, I highly discourage that. But it's better than nothing.
Yeah, a couple things we've covered already. Eric says, Larry, any experience with modern Airstreams? I understand it's an automotive clear coat, but I don't know how tough it is. Any product recommendations to make it easier to knock dust back after trips?
Well, if it's automotive clear,
are Airstreams cleared?
No.
I thought they're just polished aluminum.
That's my understanding. But he's saying that they're cleared. So if they're polished aluminum, we have a different discussion. If they're cleared, you're going to treat them just like paint.
Just
like a normal car.
Soap and water.
Soap, wash, etc. If they're dusty, you can hit it with spray wax, etc.
Yeah. Okay. All the Beretta GTZs. Great username. You guys have both built custom high-end commercial garages. Based on your experience, what are must-have or preferred features for a residential detached garage build for four cars with lift, storage, and workshop?
So the question is, what's the most important?
Built home garage. Dope home garage. What needs to be there? Built these cabinetry that's built in for Moduline. I have a similar mine. Moduline makes great cabinetry.
Yeah, they're top of the line.
They're expensive, once they're built-ins, like, pretty dope. Great lighting.
Great lighting for sure. I would spend money on the floor.
Yeah.
This is my fourth floor. So that's huge for someone. If you're going to be more focused on like washing and that's like a thing that you care about, having warm water is like...
Especially, it doesn't matter as much for me in California because it doesn't get that cold.
Yeah,
but here, warm water is nice. Outlets everywhere.
I also really like, if you can see behind here, I keep moving, sorry, the central vacs that are in the wall.
Oh, yeah.
That was like the least amount of money I spent on this whole entire... $1,500.
For central vacuum in the wall? That rules.
And the guy comes and maintains it once a year.
Really?
Yeah, and he's the nicest guy in the world.
That's awesome.
It's like, of all the things in here...
That's awesome.
Just to install those lights was $5,000.
Yeah, the lights are expensive.
Yeah,
Central vacuum is awesome.
The wind.
Central compressed air. I mean, if at the very least, like a proper compressor and a very long hose.
I would say everybody asked me, like, hey, if they said, hey, Larry, what's the number one tool? It's compressed air.
Yeah.
Outside, inside, polishing, number one. So I would say have plenty of compressed air, and if you can have it up on top, you know, you see, I have six reels here.
Yeah. A nice rolling cart. So that you can bring things you need
back there.
To where
that
you're
was
working.
Like a $200 cart that I was like annoyed to pay for.
Yeah.
I can't function without
it. Yeah. We use our rolling cart like constantly.
Yeah.
And a floor squeegee. John Unterhaller. Larry, I followed your channel for a while, but I missed the part where you switched from a wash mitt to microfiber towels for washing the car. Can
like
you explain the change?
Yes, I can. I like that question. That's my favorite question so far. So I'm switching over to microfiber towels for multiple reasons, but the main one is when you use a microfiber towel, I tend to open up my drawer after it's cleaned and washed and folded, and I take it up and it's brand new, and I throw it in the bucket and I wash it. I do the wash, etc., and I can stick four or five in there. Who cares?
Yeah.
And I throw it in the sink and when I'm done, and then I take it from the sink and put it in the washing machine. I told you the whole story because I only use the towel like 3-4 times.
And then it's in the garbage.
If you have a wash mitt, you're like...
You mentally just keep it longer.
Right. You're like, it's a wash mitt. I paid like, you know, $15. I'm making that number.
Yeah.
And I got to like, I'm going to clean it, right? And blow it off. I'm like, why? I don't have this time anymore.
Yeah.
Like, and then in theory, I would say a half step before I would take those wash mitts and throw them in the wash.
Yeah.
Then dry them. And then their the fur becomes all like matted and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just use microfiber towel. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just smaller, you know what I mean? It's smaller fibers. So if you put five or six of them in there, who cares? And then there's just no way that you're going to get cross-contamination. So I don't take the wash mitt and dunk it in a rinse thing anymore. So it's easier, less buckets to fill.
It's the one bucket system.
That's what I'm saying. It's the one bucket system now. And it's like the one towel system. I'm using it once. So
I've never thought of the science, but I just did that. Like when we started using the shop, I was like, when I wash my car, because I still do wash my own cars, I fucking, unless I have Derek, unless if I got a 6-hour job for Derek, and I'm like, Derek, guess what? You're doing 90 on my car after you're done. I don't forego a Derek fucking Bemis wash when
Derek
I can.
Derek is the man.
Yeah, Derek is the West Coast Larry. He's not a content...
With better hair, though.
He's got great hair. He's not a content creator, but if you need someone to fucking unfuck
your shit, Derek is the guy. All the time.
Yeah, he's the guy.
He's the best.
But yeah, I just started washing. I'll dump five microfibers in the bucket, fucking, and then in the sink.
Argue with
that
logic.
I don't re-dunk a bucket. A re-dunk a microfiber.
It's simple.
Yeah. Like, Maybe I'll use it for the wheels afterwards. Maybe I'll once I do the body,
right.
I'll fucking use that microfiber on the wheels. Maybe.
I have mine as blue towels.
Yeah.
Same thing. We're arguing about the same thing.
Good question. Let's see. Micah, we might come back to that. We've already covered a lot of funny stories from younger years with us. Let's see. Okay. All right. Here we go. William Kraft used white bathroom caulk to surround the outer windows of my Ford Ranger as a drunken attempt to stop a rainwater leak. 2 years later, my truck still looks like a money shot. How do I get the bathroom caulk off my paint without scratching the hell out of it? Bathroom caulk. Yikes.
Get sober.
What rehab?
I don't even know how to answer that. Scrape it off or something. Is it on the glass? Is it on the...
It's
like
50 on the fucking... He said paint. Caulk from the paint without scratching the hell out of it.
Caulk from the paint. He's probably going to have to use a plastic razor blade and try to scrape that off. And it's like, yeah, you're going to scratch your paint a little bit and then you have to go back in and polish it afterwards. But it's a... It's not a job for some, like, you could damage your paint, so, like, don't take that advice.
It's a 98 Ford Ranger. Find another door. I mean, honestly, I'd find another fucking door. I'd try to find another door first, if I could.
That's going to be...
That's a shitty...
That's going
to
be an issue.
Don't drunkenly take bathroom products to your car. That's a fucking bad look,
I don't understand how that stopped the leak. Like, the door was leaking?
He was just... Yeah, the weather stripping probably was leaking. And he was like, fuck this! Fucking bathroom cocked it.
But what happens when he opens the...
Who even knows if the window opens?
Like, the window opens, like... Yeah. You got caulking on it.
I don't know. It's so terrible.
Yeah.
James Cowley, how much value is there in doing a paint? We already sort of talked about this, but it's not the same. In doing a paint correction on a brand new non-luxury car that will be parked outside. I have a white Subaru on order and I'm considering paint correction and ceramic coating.
Number one, Subaru makes really good paint. Shockingly good paint.
Really?
Like, just probably right in the same conversation as Porsche.
Really?
It's the weirdest thing.
How about that?
Isn't that weird?
It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
Yeah. We just love them. donate today. So he may not need it. So, like, when people say, I have to go to the emergency room every Tuesday. It's like, why? Did you get hurt? Like, no, I just go. That's kind of what he's saying in that one. So if it needs it, then polish it out. But likely it doesn't need it. And if he is going to do a coating on it, then he probably wants it in good condition. So if it's a good thing, if it's already in good condition, which I would imagine it is, plus it's white.
But if it's white, you don't need to do the correction. You can pretty much just wash it, dry it, and do the coating.
Yes. If it's like you shine a light on it, it's like, oh my gosh, and it drives you crazy, then do it. But if all the cars that you could get away with, that's probably one that you could get away with.
This is a short answer. I mean,
no.
Alex, I mean, the answer is there's no easy answer. Alex Hay wants an easy way to clean up the interior of a car that I don't take very good care of. I mean, I'll just tell you, the reason it's called detailing, there's no it takes time and it takes little fucking brushes.
Like we talked about before, it takes me a week to do one car. Like
little brushes and like
the way that he could do it. I'll give him an answer. It's not
have somebody else do it.
Well, that's
pay
true.
Pay somebody else.
No, if he had compressed air, just go in there, put a mask on, and just compress everything
and blow it all over the place. That's not a bad idea,
right?
It's not a bad idea. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Miguel Flores, is there the best over-the-counter DIY headlight restoration kit?
Oh my gosh.
For the yellowing headlights.
There's like a gazillion of them.
Are they all pretty decent? Is there
one? They're all pretty decent. You would use? Difference between headlight restoration is the process to protect it afterwards.
Mm.
That's where you start separating the men from the boys kind of thing. Where if you're going to polish the paint out, the headlight out, there's really two options. There's one where you can do it with with pads and a hand machine,
mm-hmm.
or you can bump it up and do sandpaper. Sandpaper is the better way to do it. It's like faster and easier, but it scares people. So the market said, it scares people. Let's give them a hand tool. They'll feel more comfortable. So those are the two like repair things. But then when you go to actually protecting it, there's ones in an aerosol can and there's ones that are hand applied, cream applied. If yours doesn't come with some sort of super duper, you know, 5-year protection with the stuff that you're putting on there, then you got to get rid of it. So I can't speak to which ones are going to be the best. There's a million of them, but make sure after you do that, you have to put protection and follow those directions and perfectly. Otherwise you're going to sand it again in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Greg Montalbano, would you consider using an undercarriage pressure washer attachment? Are they worth it or risky for an average car? Is it just, I guess it just like bends the flow to, so you can get under the car?
Yeah, there's like a thing that you can plug in and it's like a
it's like a broom that goes
like
under there?
It's flat. It's like this and it's got things put up. In terms of
danger, it's like a better version of my sprinkler thing.
Right, it's just a more compressed version.
Cool.
Is it dangerous? No. Would I use it? Sure, but I'd be honest with you, I like bend down on my knee and go like this.
Yeah, you could do the same thing with the regular tool pretty much.
It might be cooler.
Kleiner GTI has a very wordy question, but the long and short of it is he's concerned about removing 14-year-old PPF from the front end of his car.
He should be.
His question is, how tricky is that? And having done it a bunch at our shop, we have to have Derek do it. It's his least favorite thing to do. It costs a fortune.
It's a nightmare.
When I tell people that to remove, you know, clear bra from the first foot of their car is going to be $2,500 or $3,000, and then we have to do a correction, and paint might come off. They're like, what? Yeah. And it's like, no, yeah.
When it's more than 10 years old, that's when I start bumping up pricing. Like, hey, man, it's nothing personal. Like, if I could like this, like, you go take it off and I'll replace it.
Yeah.
But, like, you have to. In your case, I think you're crazy for doing it. But if you are going to try, you have to use boiling water. And that is the prerequisite of that is making sure your paint's not going to get damaged from that.
Yeah.
So you have to understand like what when it's not. You got to be a little bit of an expert to understand that part.
Derek uses an electric tea kettle.
I have two of them right there.
Yeah, yeah.
I use electric tea kettle. I go like this.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is another trick for this guy is you take a microfiber towel, put the microfiber towel on the spot that you're working, then put the water on it so that it doesn't evaporate because the water doesn't come down. It stays warm. Then you slide it real quick.
Yeah.
And then the problem is you can't have gloves on.
Yeah.
And then you pull just a little bit and then you take the and you pour as you. For this guy, it's the
worst thing you could ever do.
Your fingertips burn, and then
would you rather pull dead rats out of glove boxes? 100%.
I'd rather polish the entire car, pull dead rats, and do the interior than pull that off. I'm not saying that for a podcast. Like I can't stand it.
I've watched it done. It's the worst thing
like,
you could do.
You ever see one of the shark fins on like an old Porsche that's like. It's crackled.
Yeah.
They're like, how much to take that off? I'm like, I'm booked forever. I can't. I don't have any time for that.
Alejandro says, why do you test drive the car after you clean them? Wouldn't it be better to go for a joyride first than clean the car? The car doesn't look good dirty for the B-roll, Alejandro. The car has to, you have to show the clean car. That's the reward.
Yeah, I've had people actually say that from, I get his point, but I'm also like making a YouTube video. I don't know.
Some people clean the car before they put it away.
Other people
clean the car before they take it out.
Right.
I clean the car before I take it out. Isn't that what you do?
Before I go for a drive?
Yeah.
Of course.
I'm saying in the video is what I was talking about before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I clean it and then go for a drive.
Yeah. I do too.
Like, why would you go for a drive dirty and then come home with
it? I don't know. I mean, I think there's someone saying you go like hoon the car and then clean it. But like, you're not, these cars are like in barns. Like,
And to be honest with you, off camera, before the customer comes, of course I'm wiping it down and doing a quick...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's things... I can't show everything. Remember we just talked about it? I'm like, yes, going to spend another 3 days showing a...
Sean Finney, do modern car seats need leather treatment and conditioning? I've heard that modern leather seats are treated at the factory, making conditioning useless.
In certain cars, yes. Some Mercedes, yes. I wouldn't call it useless.
Are treated? Some cars are treated?
Some, from what I understand, in newer Mercedes have that, but I would still, because the conditioner is basically laced with UV protection. So like in yours, yeah, you should probably do that. If you're out in the sun with no thing on it, yeah, you'd be crazy not to do that. You're basically, it's sunburning.
Yeah, sunburning, yeah, yeah.
So.
Fortunately, I own a shop. Larry, Tim says, Larry, do you still intend, we only have four left, so we'll bang through them.
Cool.
Larry, do you still intend on teaching classes out of your studio?
I do, and I have some exciting things coming very soon, and I've been working on it since February, and it's challenging to harken back to the thing I talked about before. Because the videos are taking so long, it's not just like, it's taking too long and it's not making enough money. It's like I literally am pushing back these other projects, like, you know, my ATA series, the Ammo Training Academies. I have another series that I've been working on and writing. It's 30 chapters and I'm a lunatic. Mm. And I can't get 10 minutes to be able to write and continue going in, where I go into like, what's the profit? How do you make profit in this business? Like, everybody's like passion and love, and I'm like, I'm in, dude. I'm in. I get it. But at the end of the day, like, my kid doesn't eat off of passion. You know what I mean? So,
really? Mine does.
Your does. So yeah, we're gonna be doing that. So the point I'm making is, after that online training, then once people do that, then I'm giving access to come here, because I don't want to just have. We'd have 10,000. You know, that'd be crazy. So I want to have.
Got it.
Come steps. We're doing it.
Okay, doing it. Where do people follow? If just on social media, you'll announce that when you have it. Is there a special place people got to do it? Or
no. I'll
announce. Make sure you follow Larry on Instagram.
Or just sign up for the emails and all.
Social media. Sign up for the mailing list.
All the media.
Joe does typical car maintenance and detailing in his garage and has shitty lights. Recommendations on garage lighting: type of bulb, color, temperature, quantity, spacing. Any specific lighting vendors you recommend? I mean, these things, if you, the ones above our heads here, I don't know if do they show in this video, the hexagonal, if you like literally Google hexagonal garage lighting.
Yeah, this was the first like version of
them. Can see in the reflection of my Boxster
windshield. Yeah, so it depends on what he's trying to do as well. That's when people, so I don't know how to answer that. Like, if he just wants like a regular garage, then there's tons of lighting for that. We can talk about that. But if he's talking about detailing, then you have to have specific lights that are not advantageous to having the car look pretty all the time.
Like, right.
That's not what I'm there for. I'm looking at that. I want to see all the horrible stuff.
Yeah.
This one here, not really great for detailing. But man, does it look cool when I'm shooting Instagram photographs
right,
and I'm
right,
sitting
right.
here, right? So I did that on purpose. So like work, pictures, work when I'm done.
Well, you also use the scan grips.
But the scan grips are posted everywhere. And
yeah.
They have like, so that light is very different. It's more yellow and this is more blue.
Yeah.
And so that yellow is just like, it makes the car not look all that great, which is exactly what I want. I'm there to work. This one with the more blue light
makes car look good.
Yeah. So
my new shop, I have a hex rig over the bay.
Yeah.
And then I have 5 scan grips at 6 feet.
That's smart.
Yeah. I didn't get the ones that are as powerful as yours. I got the one step down, but my bay is a little smaller.
Yeah.
And you said yours were so gnarly you could get sunburn.
Those are at 20%.
Yeah.
And if I push them up to 100%, they're like, the guy said, like, hey, you should probably not have these all pointing in the same direction. Like, oh, jeez.
Two more. Cameron says, as a young detailing professional, I would love to hear tips you have for staying healthy and safe while detailing. Outside of gloves and a respirator, do you have techniques, equipment, or exercises you recommend?
That is the best question we gotten all day. That's going to be answered in ATA 300. I'm not going to pretend like that. I'll answer it. But that's why I am the third floor. I have my full gym. So I work out every single morning, not for like, I want to work out. We're old and married. Like, I don't care. I'm just doing it so that I can not like crawl home every day. So yeah, there's a lot of stretches and a lot of things I do in the morning specifically for my back, my hands, and my feet. To be able to do all this stuff. So we're going to be talking more about that in the ATA 300. But that is, that's the first person who's ever asked a question that's not like, how do I wax my car? Like, it's like, if you're going to, longevity is the way, we agree that like this business is not long term. It's like a running back. Like you only get a couple of years and then you got to retire kind of thing. This guy is spot on.
Good one, Cameron. Yeah, and Cameron has another one that's, is an IDA certification beneficial or recommended in regards to building a reputation or a high-end client base? I don't even know what the fuck that is.
IDA is International Detailing Association. I have a lot of friends that are on there that are wonderful people, so I'll be as political as I possibly can. I think having more education is great, but I have, truthfully, and I think everyone should sign up for the IDA, and I think they're great. Having said all of that, not one time have I ever heard, or certainly in my shop, has anyone walked in and be like, are you IDA certified to, and maybe maybe I'm the exception or something because of YouTube, I get that as well. But I think realistically, when people are coming in, it's nice to have something like that on the wall, but and maybe I'm wrong. I just don't think, I mean, you tell me, do you think does anyone walk into your shop and be like, hey, I want you to detail, do you have an IDA?
No, but people ask me if they should get a degree in journalism to do my car reviewing job.
Right.
And no. I mean, I don't, I'm sure somebody who does this job has a degree in journalism, but the vast majority do not, and a bunch of them don't have college degrees at all.
Right.
So, like...
Like, be better than everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, be so good they can't agree. Yeah. Like, the book, like, just be so... Be great, and no one's gonna be like, can I see your...
Be honest, be good, yeah. And, like, do good work. Right. And, like, the work will speak for itself.
Yeah, and in detailing world, take a bunch of pictures, put them on the wall, show
but
people...
But maybe, I mean, I don't know if there's, like, a... Is there, like, a database where somebody... Where, like, maybe a big shop might go to look for candidates or something like that.
That's really smart. Maybe.
Yeah.
I just never really, you know, I was there from like many, many years ago when we were trying to like write tests for them or whatever. And it's a great organization. So I'll leave it at that.
Probably couldn't hurt.
Oh, it's definitely not going to hurt. Having more education, like I said, is great. But is it going to like is
someone a customer come in? Doesn't know to ask for that.
It's not like
maybe even, an employer. Maybe.
Maybe. But even like, what is it? The AS, what is the one, the mechanics? Are they ASE certified.
Yeah.
But like, even when you go to get this thing worked on, you're like, hey man, like, let me see your ASE like, I don't even do that. Mm-hmm. So you're saying like, I think you're on to something. I think it has to do with the employer. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
One more just came in. Average lifespan for paint protection film, costs of it are rising. I'm struggling to justify the cost again when I could effectively repaint the front of the car for twice what it costs on average now.
That seems challenging to hear.
He said, he goes on to say he's got a friendly body shop that he could get discounted rates on repainting.
All right, so first of all, repainting, it's never... It's just by default. I don't care how good the body shop is. It's never the same because the barometer, the temperature, all that stuff is very, very hard to match. And the best body shops in the world are the ones that can match it the best. Having said that, he is correct because it's plastic and oil, you know, petroleum and all. It is becoming more expensive. Having said all of that, I still think it's worth it if you're going to protect a car. That if it's over $100,000, it's almost a no-brainer. Like you have to do it. If it's not, I can understand that. Just like econ, there's going to be a point where they both meet, you know, at some point. What is that? I don't know. At minimum, I think putting a clear bra on the front of your car for a couple $1,000 makes a lot of sense. Personally, I think if you put it on the rest of the car, I said this before, and this is a longer conversation, but if we could put this on and it didn't take us a week to put it on and be as expensive as it is, it would probably put the detailing business out of business. That's how good clear bras are.
It changed my attitude towards the car.
Yeah.
Like, even if I had a friendly body shop that could repaint my front bumper every 3 years or something, like my Safari car and now this car, compared to how I think about my other personal cars that don't have it, like, it's to me, it's expensive, but if you're starting at this level, it's a no-brainer.
Like, there's no choice.
I just, I see a little fucking bit of schmutz on it, and like, I'll wash it off. Yeah. Like, it's like,
remember,
I'll fucking literally, I will eat off of it like McDonald's or, I don't eat McDonald's, but you know what I'm saying? Fucking put a fucking paper cup with a Diet Coke in it on there and not give a fuck.
And what happens if you scratch it? You peel it off and do it again. That's what it's designed for.
But yeah.
He is right. It is a massive,
it's really
enormous
expensive.
Pain in the butt to put that on. Right.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of time that we spent on this, and the reason I'm not letting you take this home today is I gotta let it sit for a little bit. It's like, you gotta, like, baby this, and then you're good to go once it's on there.
Yeah.
But if we could get the cost down, and we could get the application process down, like, if it was applying a coating,
if
like
it was
that
like
kind
a
of
paint
thing,
on,
like
or,
a paint on kind of thing, or coating, like, game over.
Yeah, yeah.
But.
Well, there it is.
There it is.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks for doing my car.
Yeah, I still got a little bit more work to do, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it looks fucking so...
I'm happy for you, man.
It's so good. It's so shiny and, like, just like... It's very, like, chameleon-like. It looks like a different car with the top up and with the top down. And
it does.
And in the indoor light here and in the outdoor open shade versus the afternoon sun. I mean, it's kind of the same as the Cassis Red in that regard. And I'm really happy with it. And even just... going 10 miles under break-in speeds with the demand engine, it's really nuts. It's really, really nuts.
When I was in the other car looking at you, I was like, all right.
That's pretty sick.
That's nice.
So, caffeine and carburetors tomorrow morning. Then I'm going to Atlanta tomorrow afternoon. I'm going to interview Killer Mike.
Oh, dude. Oh, I saw Killer Mike a couple of... I went to the Rage show.
You did before they canceled it?
Yes, I got to the last show, and I called Musto.
Was he on crutches?
Yeah, they carried him out.
Really?
They carried him out. Dude, I don't even, like, forget
about
this.
Was it sick?
You know how, like, half my thing is Rage, company's name after Rage?
It's the sickest shit ever.
I lost my mind, and then the first thing when Killer Mike came out, I didn't know that they were opening, because I was so focused on...
Run the Jewels. Were they awesome?
They were awesome.
Yeah.
And then I called Musto, and he's like, yeah, I know Killer Mike. And I'm
he's homies with them.
Yeah, and he's like, you want to go backstage? And I was like, don't toy with my emotions right now. Like, this is insane. So I think... when the next one tour comes around, apparently Mike is hooking something up so I can at least go and like sit on the side.
Yeah,
like
that's
like my Derek Jeter, Mickey Mantle. Like,
Mike is so nice. He's the nicest guy. I'm going to interview him for the magazine. The next issue of Road and Track is the music issue. So he's into cars, you know. And,
dude.
I'm very excited.
Do whatever you can. If you can get Rage Again, oh my God.
I had tickets. For Oakland.
Oh, they're not.
I got refunded. They canceled. They canceled the tour because of Zach's ankle. So I'm sure it'll.
Yeah, is that? We can talk about. Something doesn't smell right there.
He tore his Achilles heel, his Achilles tendon.
Yeah, but like, he was killing it on stage. He was sitting on the box and he was going like this on the box.
Well, I think he. I mean, if I had to guess, I would guess he like can't stop himself from jumping around and shit. Or whatever, and it's just like according to his statement, his Achilles tendon is fucked and like needs like surgery and like extensive rehab, and he's in a ton of pain, and you know.
I will tell you this: you don't understand how Rage is like.
Do you remember when we saw them?
Yes,
and he broke his ankle.
Yes,
he tripped on a monitor and broke his ankle on stage the last time I saw him. And he came back out in a fucking cast.
And I know, that time that we saw it, you lost your beeper and your dad almost killed you. Do you remember that?
No,
we couldn't get into the show. And then we called you.
I lost my beeper.
Dude, I
don't remember at all.
Believe me, we were on the floor. We were in the middle because we were so excited. Right. I still have that shirt. I wore that shirt to the last show. And there was a bunch of like old dudes like me. And they were like, nice shirt, man. I'm like,
the World of Rage and Wu-Tang shirt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The black one. So I went in. We sat in the middle. Yeah. And then we got elbowed out because people went bananas.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then
we
went to the edge and we started like staying like on the hockey rink on Madison Square Garden.
Yeah,
and then you lost your beeper and your dad had to do all this work to get us the tickets because we couldn't get in because it was sold out. And then when we got back, your dad almost killed you. You're like, where's the beeper? Like, I lost it. I got hit. And we kept talking about how we were getting punched.
I totally remember that. I got to ask my dad if he remembers the beeper.
Yeah, it was that you lost your beeper.
I haven't thought about having a beeper in a decade. Like, it sounds awful to say that I even had one now because it ages me so bad.
But I will say this. When I was at the show, they sounded exactly like they do. That's the band that, you know, when you go to another band, you're like, oh, that's cool. Like, they must do a lot of work in the studio.
Yeah, yeah.
They sounded exactly like it. And if you look at Tom Morello, he's like pushing 60.
I don't think he's that old.
He's in his late. Look him up. He's like, he's not that young. The guy was going bananas. He was going nuts.
He's 58.
Dude, I told you.
Good for you.
He is.
Wow, good for Tom Morello. Yes. Fucking ageless. I wouldn't have guessed he was. I mean, the math says, but like, I wouldn't have guessed
that's
he was over 50
I mean, he
or
was
51.
Doing his,
but
with the two guitars, doing his like stomping, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, in all of, I am pointing upstairs because all my pictures upstairs.
I need
are
to
them.
Fucking go.
Dude, you
the,
get it. It changed everything.
I'm begging you.
I'm legit
Mike.
Begging you. If you go, I will do whatever I can do.
I will schmooze Killer Mike.
Please.
That's our show. MONYC.com for all of Larry's products, all his shit. MONYC social media.
Subscribe, watch the videos.
Go watch his YouTube videos.
And Raising Against Machine forever.
Yeah. And we'll have a video. He'll have a video about prepping my
boss. When is this coming out?
Like Tuesday, probably.
All right, so probably like 2 weeks after this.
All right, cool. That's our show. Thank you for our patrons. Appreciate it. Of course, patreon.com/thesmokingtire. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
See ya.